Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Daniel Day Podcast, a podcast all about discipleship and leadership. I'm Daniel Day, your host. Welcome to the program. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Daniel Day, your host. And right now we are joined with none other than Jay Mooney. Jay, welcome to the podcast, or I should say welcome back. This is your second time on, and we call that a glutton for punishment. So welcome back to the podcast. It's a joy to have you.
Daniel, it's an honor to be back. Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure.
Awesome. Listen, as you know, we always begin the podcast with prayer. So I'm going to ask you to take us to the Lord and just ask his blessing over our conversation.
Happily. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be iron sharpening iron in your kingdom. Lord, thank you for what ministry of the Daniel Day podcast, for the ministers and leaders that are connected to this podcast. Lord, we pray for them right now. Father, would you use this moment of recording to be able to speak to their unique needs? And Lord, as they encounter the workings of your leadership in their lives, God, would you bring the transformations that they pray for? God, would you bring the successes that they pray for? Lord, heal the sick, raise up those who are brokenhearted, and bring in a harvest of people to grow up into the image of your Son. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for the conversation that we're having. And Lord, may you be glorified through it all, because we are yours and you are our King and Lord. And we praise you for it as sons and daughters in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, if you're just beginning to hop on to this live broadcast, or perhaps you're watching it on the replay, would you please do us a favor? Like the video, heart the video, comment on the video, let us know where you're watching from or listening from, and share the video, especially with anyone involved in discipleship in your church. Today, we are with Jay Mooney, who is someone who will be able to speak into how to align our ministries in the local church so that we are producing amazing disciples. Now, Jay, you and I go back years and years, all the way back to youth ministry. And I first met you when you were the national director for youth ministry and youth leadership. And man, what a blessing you were to me at that time. In helping to resource us in reaching the next generation. And then you transitioned, and for over a decade, you were with Compact Family Services, and you were the executive director of the Assemblies of God Family Services Agency. And now God has led you to a new pathway focused on resourcing the church for making disciples. And I would love for you to just take a moment. Tell us about the new department and the new assignment on your life.
Well, thank you so much, Daniel. It's an exciting time for me. I have been chasing a next gen world for 25 years, and most recently been in, as you said, really kind of chasing the underdog element of that. And God has been doing some marvelous things, and I find it an incredible privilege to be in the role doing what I'm doing. You know, the Assemblies of God has a rich history in publishing. And Gospel Publishing House has been, for those who are part of the Assemblies of God Fellowship, and even those that are outside, has been a great resource entity as a publisher to provide curriculum, books, inspirational resources, event resources, just church resources, a lot of that for several decades. Obviously, I don't need to speak to the long history of that without bringing a little bit of understanding there for some people who maybe are hearing this and they don't know. But this long-standing publisher is based here in Springfield, Missouri, in the national offices of the Assemblies of God. In our generation, there has been a great emergence of church ministries. And those church ministries have matured many times because of the works of a publisher or many different publishers. Well, now what is happening is that the Assemblies of God National Office is strategically bringing church ministries and discipleship into one unit with publishing, so that publishing is producing better resources or efficient and meeting the need resources of today's modern church. And so it's my assignment to bring about that coming together, that integration, and to see that begin to resource the church to make disciples who make disciples. And so there's two elements to that. There's the element of the process of making a disciple, and then there's the outcome of what does that disciple look like. And so this strategic alignment is really focused on that element, that key point. Yet, with a very strategic next gen and family initiative that is timely for a cultural revolution and a technological revolution that's happened in our lifetime. And I'm excited about what's ahead.
Yeah, I can see it in your face and your body language that you are pumped about this new initiative. And one of the words that continues to come to my mind as I consider what you're doing right now is alignment. You are bringing alignment between resources, both online and printed, and the local church, to bring alignment between, let's say, kids ministry, youth ministry, adult ministry, whether that be young college and career groups and family ministries, young parents, older parents, grandparents raising kids, bringing alignment to these things so that they're not just little silos that have their own independent visions or directions. But if we're going to truly make a great disciple, we've got to have the long view of cradle to grave discipleship. And that's what I hear in your voice. And I would love for you to tell us why you're so excited about this new initiative.
Because we're going to see an opportunity for strengthening not just the individual believer, but the family of believers.
That's good.
An example of that would be, for example, some of the curriculum that happens in the church world is maybe sometimes relevant to a particular age group, but sometimes those age groups are looking at different, they're on a different growth pattern. They're in a different growth process. It's one thing to be age specific, but what happens when we can become age aligned? And that's that alignment piece you're talking about. And when we can have a five-year-old child experience moments in church that their 35-year-old parent is having a similar subject encounter at a different level, but that conversation, if it's age aligned, it's easy to happen when they get home, not just at church. So a kid may be understanding the working of God's power to heal, while the mom and or dad, they're also having an experience in God's word along those same lines. Now we're creating age alignment. And much of some of the resource work that's happening right now is to bring age alignment so that we're strengthening not just the believer, but the family of believers.
So in the coming days, as this is being recorded, I believe today is the 10th. Of March, and sometimes these days begin to blur, especially when you have a big event coming up. You're going to be traveling into Orlando, Florida, not far from where I am right now, exiting out of some of that cold Missouri weather, coming into the beautiful 75 degrees and no humidity Orlando, Florida, to have a conference, a next gen conference, where you're going to be leveraging some of these resources, bringing them to church leaders, And I would love for you to talk about the conference and maybe even dive into a few of the specific resources that you're most excited about.
That's so cool. You know, I am excited to be able to get to Florida and out of the frozen tundras here of the Missouri and the Midwest. You know, that Next Gen conference is so strategic. You know, Daniel, I have to say this. I've had a life verse for 25 years that's been kind of aligned to me. In fact, a lot of our technologies today, you always have to have a 4-digit PIN to be able to do certain things. And mine's been really easy to remember. If you wanted to come to my house and get control of my remote, then you just need to know 7118. That's Psalm 7118 says, David says, even to when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me until I proclaim your power, your might to the next generation. Every generation has a next generation. And it's the generation responsibility to invest in the next generation. And this next generation conference that's going to take place is going to span everything really from the cradle all the way through young adulthood. And in church world, just like in just the culture world itself, there are gaps of transition that are often tripping points for some people. Some examples would be when a kid goes from fifth grade in their local elementary school to a middle school in the sixth grade. That's a very, very strategic shifting moment that happens, and they're moving from one world to a new world. And the same thing happens when someone leaves a youth group at 17 or 18 years of age and they enter into college and they go away to school. And that's a very, very pivotal transitional moment. We, in this era of focusing on next gen, are focused in on some of these strategic moment areas. But we're identifying what we call seven dimensions of a spirit-filled disciple. And those seven dimensions are very familiar things to us, where God wants us to grow in his word. God wants us to grow to be a person of the spirit, a person of prayer, a person of worship, a person of service. You can just go on. And all of these elements I should be growing in, whether I'm a fifth grader or I'm a 10th grader or I'm a young adult. And there's no kind of starting point and then you finish. All of us from cradle to grave are being formed into the image of God. So when we get to a next gen conference and we're talking about resources, we're talking about resourcing a kid to grow in these seven dimensions, whether they're 10 years old or 20 years old. And to see them build in that growth pattern in their life to carry them on to lead the next generation. And this Next Gen conference is going to happen on March 14, 15, and 16 in Orlando, Florida. If someone wants to learn more about how they can participate, it's not too late. Or if you want to find out more about what happens, and maybe you just can join online, you can visit NextGen, NextGen, nextgen.ag.org, and find out all about it. We welcome you.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to be there. I know some of my team is going to be there. It might be a little bit easier for us because we're just a couple hours away from Orlando. However, if you're within driving distance or if you can find a way to fly in, it's going to be worth it, because what I hear you saying is you're going to be plugging the holes. You're going to be plugging the leaks. And, you know, we have been really good. Church at large has been really good at once a kid or a young person is in the church flow, we can take them places, do things with them, go on trips, mission trips, camp, programs, different events such as Speed the Light or Fine Arts or Fun Arts. And while they're in that mix, things are good. But there are these moments that you've identified, transitional, pivotal moments. And Next Gen is the solution to making sure that these young people that we've been investing in for years don't fall by the wayside at these critical junctures. Is that right?
Yeah. And we need to learn how to help the next gen connect with every gen that's around them. You know, there's four key connections that happen in a kid's life that are, for me, as a next gen leader, whether that is a children's pastor or a youth pastor or a young adult pastor or a lead pastor. In reality, I need to connect them to God. They need to know what it's like to have a real authentic relationship with an authentic God. That's the key to an authentic faith. But they also need to know how to connect to family. That's the place where we live out our faith. And we have to understand the importance of next gen ministry as a next gen leader, investing not just in the student, but the parent. And how that happens may not always be my direct influence. It may be my indirect. If I'm a 25-year-old youth leader and I have a 15-year-old student in my life, in my ministry, and I want to influence the family and the parent and their connectivity and helping connect their 15-year-old to their parents. When I'm 25 and I don't have a 15-year-old child, it's a lot harder for me to go to that, you know, that parent that's 40 years of age and say to that parent, hey, let me tell you what to do. Well, maybe I need to bring my 40-year-old pastor into the room. That's maybe where and work strategically. But I need to help to connect the parent to the kid and the kid to the parent. Why? Because that's the key to a lived out faith. If we can teach a kid how to live their faith in their home environment, they can live it anywhere. Because there are no masks. There's no falsettos or anything of sort in daily life. You see it all. Yeah. So if I can learn how to forgive and be forgiven in that context, I can learn how to live it out anywhere.
Yeah, I want to pull on that thread just a bit more and get you to speak into it, because what I have found, even in my own personal life and in conversations with young families, parents can be a little bit nervous about discipling their children because mm-hmm. there is no mask or falsetto, as you said. The kids see us when we have bad attitudes. They see us when we mess up. They see us when we have a moment of failure. And now we're trying to attempt to disciple the kids. And children are really good at pointing out our faults and failures and bringing, you know, we tell a kid not to say a word. The second we say it, hey, you told us not to say that, you know, and so they're a tool that God uses to sanctify us. We'll put it that way. But I think some parents are nervous about stepping into that discipleship role simply because the kids see us mess up. They see us when we fail, and how could we, I think the enemy plays with us a little bit and says, you can't take that stand. You got to farm out the discipleship to the pastor, to the youth pastor, because they're up there on that mountaintop and they don't mess up like you do. And I would like for you to just take a second, encourage mom and dad for a minute and tell them why, even if they mess up, how they might navigate that a little bit.
Man, Daniel, you are spot on. Thank you so much. You teed it up. You couldn't have given me a better opportunity to speak something that I have a deep conviction and passion about. Let me just start with just telling a quick little story about what I believe may be the most formative moment that's ever happened in my life as a parent. I have four children, and they're all married, six grandchildren, and they serve the Lord. And I'm so thankful that they know Him and they trust Him. And something happened 20 years ago. I was having a conversation with my wife, and I was right and she was wrong. But the problem was I was dead right. And I was trying to prove my point. You know, I'm on a disc, I'm a high I, I'm an influencer. I'm not a high D. When I get passionate, it's really because I believe in something and I'm trying to sell you on it, so to speak. And I was trying to make my point in the process, Daniel. I crossed the line and I spoke to my wife in a disrespectful way in front of my children. And I was angry. I walked out of the den. I was passing through the galleyway in our kitchen. There was a little stool sitting there on the floor. My wife's 5'3". It was in front of the pantry, so she needed it to reach the higher point. And I kicked it. And being a little plastic stool that it was, it quickly flew. And it flew across the kitchen, and it hit the corner of a brand new refrigerator and put a dent in it to remind me of this moment. And I kept my way going down the hallway. Now I'm angry about not winning my argument. Now I'm angry at myself for what I just did. And I'm in my room and I'm stewing, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and said, "Jay, you need to fix this right now." And so I went back into the den and I spoke to Laura. I said, "Laura, would you sit down with me on the hearth here?" And she did. She didn't want to right then, but she was kind enough to do that. And I took my four kids, my three daughters and son, and I sat them on the sofa across the way from me. And I turned to my wife and I looked at them. I looked at her and I said, "Laura, what I did was wrong. I spoke disrespectfully to you, and that was really wrong. And could you ever find it in your heart to forgive me? Will you forgive me?" And she was gracious, and she said, "Yes, Jay, I forgive you." I turned to my children at that moment, and I looked at them, and I said, "Look, what your dad just did was not only just wrong to what he did to you, your mom, what I did to you and as well was wrong. I caused you confusion and fright and other things, and your dad was wrong. He lost his temper, and I sinned against you and my wife and your mother. And I just ask you, would you forgive your dad? Could you find it in your heart to forgive?" And fortunately, my 7-year-old son at the time, he said, "Dad, you're not that bad." And he kind of took the air out of the room. But some years later passed, Daniel, and I'm convinced that may have been the most important parenting leadership moment I've ever had in discipleship. Because what I did unknowingly at the moment was not in my repentance to God, I was acknowledging that I had sinned. And I was not just acknowledging that to God, I was going to the people that I had sinned against, and I was giving them the power and the authority to forgive me in repentance. If they didn't forgive me, at least I would have done what was right. And that gave me a sense of freedom from the guilt and the shame that I was experiencing. But by asking them for forgiveness, not just apologizing, but giving them the authority to make a decision, I gave to them the freedom to be able to cast off anger and bitterness that could have built up over the years. And in that one moment, I think what I just taught my kids was own your wrong and make it right. And you can find freedom and you can find peace. And now they know how to deal with that in their lives. And so parents, you can. You have incredible influence. There's nothing more influential than a mom or a dad. It's more influential than the peers of your kids. Your influence is greater than that of the pastor and other staff leaders in a church or volunteers. You have the greatest influence, and God designed it that way. The church was not the original institution. The family was. And God never called for me or you as parents to abdicate the responsibility that he's allocated to us and to be able to invest that in the next generation. Don't underestimate yourself. No, we're not perfect, but if we'll just own our mistakes before God and just trust him with that, with our kids, you'll be amazed at what you're going to be able to do with your own kids.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative of your vulnerability there. You know, you could have shared an example from all your many years of doing family ministry. You would have had a number of examples from other families and how other people did it, but you shared a failure are a learning opportunity. We could say a moment of weakness, a moment of getting in the flesh, and we all get in those moments. I mean, as fathers, we have moments where we just drop the ball. We mess up, we fail, and the kids have a front row seat. But those moments have built within them, kind of embedded in them, the opportunity to show the kids, even dad needs Jesus. We need right. Jesus. We got to go to the Lord and we got to pray. And I want you to just kind of give me the other side of the coin for another 60 seconds or so, because I've met parents that don't think they need to apologize to their kids. It's almost like they take a military viewpoint. I'm the superior. They're below me, and superiors don't apologize. You know, even if you're wrong, don't admit it. You know, they kind of have that attitude. And what would you say to them? How might you encourage them right now, and how that attitude might actually be detrimental in the discipleship process?
Yeah. And I think what drives some of that, Daniel, is that I think we all tend to want to be successful at what we're doing. And so we've developed in our mindset a model at that point, if we're thinking that way, that says, this is what it takes to be successful. I've got to be strong. I've got to be the perfect model. Well, we just addressed the fact that none of us are perfect, and we can't meet that perfect model standard. But what can happen is, we have to understand we don't own our kids.
That's right.
God does. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that kind of goes like this. The earth is the Lord, and the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it and everyone in it. So as a parent, there's also this understanding I have to keep in mind that, you know, yes, my wife and I procreated this child, but that's a child with a spirit that God has given and a soul. And the day is coming that they will leave their mother and father and they will cling to their spouse. And my job is to help them to know how to get there and to go on beyond and then be a parent themselves. And that if I don't show them how to be vulnerable before the Lord, I'm sinning against them. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue. I'm sinning against them. I can't just say, well, I have to be strong. Well, what am I going to do about that? God says that that's my responsibility. And we see it over and again in Scripture where God brings that point of accountability. We don't want our children to grow up to despise us. In fact, Paul talks about us not creating that kind of an environment, that we don't make our children despise us. And so I would appeal to them in that avenue, just to say,
yeah,
you want your child to succeed. The way to succeed with your child is to show them that we need to depend on the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think too, you know, just to kind of go to the next level beyond, I'm sorry, someone recently said in a leadership talk, the words, I was wrong,
yes,
are so much more powerful. It's not just, I'm sorry, but yes, I'm owning this. I was wrong. What I did was wrong. And what you said there, would you please forgive me? It's going to be a very rare occasion for someone to be so far from God, even an unbeliever. It would be a rare occasion that if you humble yourself like that, that they would say, no way, I'm not forgiving you. No, it would have to be a really interesting and unique situation. When you say I'm wrong, how powerful is that, Jay?
It's incredibly powerful, because at that moment, you're never more vulnerable. You've let down all your defenses. And you're saying to the person that's before you, I'm not trying to excuse myself. I'm sorry can include that, but it doesn't always include that. And when you say I'm wrong, not I'm sorry, it's different. I can, you know, if I stole something from someone and I was caught, and I said, I'm sorry, that doesn't mean that they're going to trust me. But if I said I was wrong, how can I make it right? Now I've created the possibility of trust regained. But you can't trust I'm sorry, because it just says how you feel. It doesn't surrender anything.
Yeah. So why don't we spend the next 5 minutes as we wind down our conversation, which, by the way, it's been really great so far. It's been awesome. I would like to dive into a leadership element for a moment. Yes. And talk to those of us in ministry, whether you be an evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophet, apostle, church planter, missionary, those of us called of God, set apart for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the saints to do that. And why we should at this time, why is it so urgent right now for us as God's leaders in the church to be focused on equipping the entire family?
Well, the cultural revolution that happened since the 1960s has created the greatest disintegration of the family in the history of this nation. No civilization has survived two generations of family brokenness back to back. And we are at the outset of the second generation. So the decisions that we make right now are going to greatly determine the futures of what our children are going to experience. And we have to be willing to recognize the importance of that. I know that we can sit around, we can point at all the broken problems that we have, but it can change.
That's right.
It took a generation to get into this, but it can take a generation to lead us out of it.
Come on.
And I'm confident in believing that that's exactly what can happen. We've seen it in scripture, in stories, in the narrative of God, and we can see it again happen. And I know that if we would just be willing to take that step to just simply own our responsibility, say, as for me, I can't speak to everybody else, but as for me, I'm going to do that. You know, Daniel, I'm so hungry and thirsty for transparency. And maybe that's the reason why I was sharing the transparent moment in my life in this podcast, to say to us, if we will just be transparent individually on our own, to recognize that God created the family as the central point of raising up a disciple. In fact, that's the commitment, that's the call, that is the imperative that is showing in Scripture, to entrust these things to your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. And God has given us the capacity to lead that way. He's given us the not only the influence, but the capacity to lead that way. And we need, for the sake of that generation, to make that leadership level investment. And it just begins with my house and my life.
Amen. So good. Why don't you take us to the Lord in prayer, Jay? And I want you to specifically pray for us that we would lean into this now, not later. Yeah. That we would truly find it in our hearts, our schedules, our finances, our efforts to resource the family for discipleship and to bring that alignment into our ministries.
Happy to. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we, as your children, are a part of the family of God. Lord, the family on this earth is a metaphor and picture of what you're building throughout history. Lord, many people have asked the question, what do you want? And God, you've made it very clear through your word in simplicity, what you want is us. You want us. And God, you've invited us to be a part of your family. You said, as many as believed in Jesus, your son, to them you gave the right to become the children of God. And Lord, you've revealed yourself as a heavenly father, and you've given your son as a sacrifice for our sins. And Lord, you've created this family metaphor in the picture of your word. And you're talking about how we are going to be a part of your family to be heirs and co-heirs with your son. In essence, Lord, we became a part of the family business, and that's what we're doing even right now. And so, Lord, we dedicate ourselves as families here on this earth who are belonging to the family of God to say, Lord, here we are. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for building us. And Lord, we ask you, raise up this family. Raise up the families that are on this podcast right now, listening in this one moment. Lord, deliver them of the oppressions and the brokenness and the fears and the doubts. And Lord, set them free to be able to own their mistakes at the cross and say, God, forgive me. Transform me. Change me. And God, as you are so faithful to do, because you're compassionate and you're for us and you vested yourself into us, Lord, you cleanse us and you redeem us and you set us about in a fresh start. And so, Lord, surrender it in that way. We receive that and we venture forward in the beautiful, wonderful, precious grace and name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Jay, I'm just so encouraged. You've been talking about family. I just want to say how grateful I am that our family within, you know, the broader Assemblies of God, we have that saying, one church, one family, right? That the family within the Assemblies of God has awakened to the need of this alignment between a division of church ministries, discipleship, and our resources, publishing, My Healthy yeah. Church, and so on, and to bring all that together into a cohesive department that will help to resource the body of Christ to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And I just want to say that I think you're the perfect man for the job. Your background is absolutely perfectly situated to raise you up for this hour, for this time. And I want to give people the website, and also for those who might be interested in the Next Gen conference, one more time, where can they get in touch with you, Jay?
nextgen.ag.org or ag.org. And you can find out all that information if they want to know about the resources. It would be simply myhealthychurch.com. So, Daniel, this team that I've come into with this, the spirit of unity here is it's so exciting. And now the mind of unity is starting to happen. We're going to help the church like we haven't helped in the past. We're going to even do better.
It's so exciting. I can't wait to see what God does through it all. And anything we can do to help, we want to be a part of it. Jay, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Daniel. God bless you too.